ia ora ana. Malo ni, malo elelei, talofa lava, nisam pulvinaka, fakalofa lahiatu.
Te ama Pacifica Health.
Praise the Lord, Te Ama Pacifica Health, Maloni, Malo Elelei, Talofalava, Nisambula Vinaka, Fakalofa Lahiatu, Kiorana, Talofa, and welcome. Warm Pacific greetings to you all. This is Falifangamalo Mele Melepuka, your host for today. Welcome to you all, and it's that time again for our Te Ama Talanua. Praise the Lord for his beautiful gift of life, the air that we breathe, rain and the sunshine, trees, flowers that bloom in our gardens, birds that are singing on the trees. Thank you, Lord. You are our creator, good, loving, and faithful always. And as we do, we will start our program with a word of prayer. If I tell of our children, my mother, let the Pacifica, Ilene, Tayama to Mofie, Olama Taina Lata, Topo Kalame, Iletatalo, Epe and Masaniai. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before you in the humble prayer. Before we start with this Tayama radio program, we realize without your blessings, we will not be able to succeed with the plans for today's program. Please bestow your grace and divine wisdom to all our listeners, so that we can enjoy sharing of information to help us improve healthy lives and share the greater glory of your love in Jesus' name. Bless also our families in our communities, grant them peace and happiness as they go about their activities. Bless the people around the globe that they may enjoy peace and goodness of your love. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen. Stop. Welcome to Tema Radio Show. This is Falefangamalo Mele Melepuka, and I am your host for today. Talofalava, and a very warm welcome to all our beautiful listeners this beautiful new morning. God is good. I trust that you have all had an enjoyable weekend with your families, children, and friends, happy and healthy. Not long now to go, and summer weather, you know, enjoying the coming of that hot time very soon. I'm looking forward to that. So yeah, our talanoa today is about new start, nutrition, healthy lifestyle. But before I go there, let me share with you this story today about kiwis. An amazing fact. One of the strangest creatures in the world is a flightless bird found only in New Zealand called the kiwi. The kiwi is the smallest member of the red-eyed family, which includes the ostrich and emus. It is unique in several respects. For one thing, it is the only bird in the world that has its nostrils at the end of its beak, which is about one-third of the body length. The kiwi literally sniffs out its food by plunging its long beak below the surface. They also have excellent hearing that can even detect a worm wiggling underground. Kiwis live as monogamous couples, with the bigger female dominating the male, who may do most of the incubating of the eggs. And the eggs are huge. The female kiwi has one of the largest egg-to-body-weight ratios of any bird. The mature egg averages 20% of the female's body weight, compared to 2% for an ostrich. A 5-pound kiwi lays an egg that weighs just over a pound, a record in the bird kingdom. That would be like a 100-pound woman giving birth to a 20-pound baby. And the eggs take an exceedingly long time to hatch, up to 80 days, whereas a chicken egg only takes 21 days. Kiwis are often confused for mammals. For one thing, it has wings but cannot fly. It loses feathers, have hair, like appearance. Its long whiskers, plus the fact that it burrows in the ground, all contribute to the confusion. Some think it's strange that New Zealanders like to call themselves Kiwis and have made the image of these vizier birds a national emblem of their money, stamps, and coins. The Bible teaches that Christians are called to be a peculiar people, but does that mean that we are commanded to be wacky or weird? Of course not. It means we are special to the Lord. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, Exodus 19, verse 5. To those outside the family circle, we might seem strange, but to the Lord we are uniquely loved, just like the Kiwis. And our Bible text, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9.
With a steeple still attached. When all the cars drive by, they don't know what they just passed. No fancy sign, one service time, and the door's always unlocked. It's the first place that I saw the hand of God. You couldn't tell. You couldn't tell me angels didn't walk those halls on a Wednesday night, a Sunday morning. We didn't have much, but Jesus loved it. If you want to know why I am the way I am, it's the church I grew up. Don't need much, 'cause Jesus loves. is the church that we're all in.
You are tuning in and listening to Te Ama Pacifica Health. So our purpose is to have a voice for all Pacifica on air dedicated specifically to raise awareness to promote and enhance the quality of community-based services to all our Pacifica people and Ainga right here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And Te Ama aim to achieve this through providing and sharing relevant information that will actually help and make a difference to our lives each and every day. So let us start to share what we call for this morning, New Start Nutrition Lifestyle, Healthy Lifestyle. So Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. The human intellect must gain expansion and vigor and acuteness and activity. It must be taxed to do hard work, or it will become weak and inefficient. Brain power is required to think most earnestly. It must be put to the stretch to solve hard problems and master them, else the mind decreases in power and aptitude to think. The mind must invent work and wrestle in order to give hardness and vigor to the intellect. And if the physical organs are not kept in the most healthful condition by substantial nourishing food, the brain does not receive its portion of nutrition to work. Daniel understood this, and he brought himself to a plain, simple, nutritious diet and refused the luxuries of the king's table. The desserts which make so much time to prepare are, many of them, detrimental to health. Solid foods requiring mastication will be far better than mush or liquid foods. I dwell upon this as essential. The intellect is to be kept thoroughly awake with new, earnest, wholehearted work. How is it to be done? The power of the Holy Spirit must purify the thoughts and cleanse the soul of its moral defilement. Defiling habits not only abase the soul, but debase the intellect. Memory suffers laid on the altar of base hurtful practices. When teachers and learners shall consecrate soul, body, and spirit to God and purify their thoughts by obedience to the law of God, they will continually receive a new endowment of physical and mental power. Then will there be heart yearnings after God and earnest prayer for clear perception to discern. Diligent study is essential and diligent hard work. A well-balanced mind is not usually obtained in the devotion of the physical powers to amusement. Physical labor that is combined with mental taxation for usefulness is a discipline in practical life, sweetened always by the reflection that it is qualifying and educating the mind and body better to perform the work God designs us to do in various lines. The mind thus educated to enjoy physical taxation in practical life becomes enlarged and, through culture and training, well-disciplined and richly furnished the usefulness and acquires a knowledge essential to be a help and blessing to themselves and to others. These fundamentals of Christian education, page 22:6 to 22:9.
It's like you're looking through a telescope. You see where you're gonna be. Growing, getting better. You're not the person they see. Can't be mad at the things you've been through. You were made to live a good life, and that's what I believe. So hit the floor, say a prayer, start working. You gotta do something. It's alright to cry before you walk. Yeah. It's alright to walk before you run. Yeah. But if you wanna
Welcome back to Abba Pacifica Health Radio Program. Every Tuesday, listening to Smella Radio at 11:05 a.m., 104.6. Welcome, Tato Fani. Continue on. Does the Bible say it is wrong to gamble? In some ways, we take risks every day. Businessmen risk their livelihood on new products, for instance. But our subject today deals with something very different, the idea of placing a bet, or putting something of value at risk in order to win money or some other prize. You won't find the word gambling in the Bible. So, to answer this question, we need to look at biblical principles in this regard. The Bible does make some strong statements indicating that he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Proverbs 28:20. Most people who gamble to gain wealth end up with empty wallets. Take a look at these facts about gambling. 2/3 of Americans have participated in some form of gambling. Compulsive gamblers are the lifeblood of casinos. About 2/3 of problem gamblers resort to crime to gain money for gambling or debts. People visiting Las Vegas double their risk of suicide. California has almost 1 million problem gamblers, costing taxpayers about $1 billion annually due to the cost of criminal justice, unemployment, substance abuse, mental illness, and public assistance. What about the lottery? This can be a temptation even for people who would never set foot in a casino. But as with any form of gambling, the overwhelming majority loses money. The odds of making money through any form of gambling are very small. It's much better to save your money, wisely invest it, and to work. He who has a slack hand become poor, but the hand of the intelligent makes rich. Proverbs 10:4. Gambling is fueled by an overzealous desire for immediate wealth. People want to get rich quick. It's a natural desire, but that doesn't mean it's good. Greed is a trait that Christians should seek to eliminate from their lives. Covetousness violates the 10th commandment. Remember, it was the love of silver that helped nail Jesus to the cross. Finally, people who gamble are placing their faith in remote chance, a very unreliable companion. The only safe place to put your faith in is in God. He will never let you down. Bible text, he that hastes to be rich hath an evil eye, and considered not that poverty shall come upon him. Proverbs 28:22.
Of the goodness of God.
Welcome back to Ama Pacifica Health. Talo falava malo le surfua ki ora na tato kato toa. A spirit of power. Because of its grace, strength, and sheer size, the bald eagle was chosen to symbolize the United States. Baby eagles, eaglets, begin their lives high in a tree, nest typically 5 feet in diameter. After making the first break in the shell, it can take an eaglet 12 to 48 hours to completely hatch out. The parents provide well for their offspring, and the young birds grow rapidly. They add 1 pound every 5 days, but eventually they must learn to fly and hunt for themselves. The mother teaches her eagles to fly by making the nest very uncomfortable. She rips up the soft padding to expose sharp sticks, bones, and rocks. Then she stops bringing food, but she'll frequently fly by the nest of hungry eagles sporting fresh fish or rabbits to tempt them. The little eagles become so hungry and uncomfortable, they are eventually compelled to leave the nest and commit themselves to the unknown world of air outside. It's incredibly dangerous, as approximately 40% of young eagles do not survive their first flight. It's believed that only about 1 in 10 eagles survive to adulthood, 5 years old. Some of the primary reasons are gunshot wounds by hunters that kill for feathers and talons to sell on the black market, and lead poisoning from eating wounded ducks, rabbits, and other game that elude the hunter but later died. It can be tough to be an eagle. In fact, they were once declared an endangered species, but they've since made a comeback. Paul encouraged young Timothy, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind," 2 Timothy 1:7. Perhaps Timothy was timid and needed encouragement to get out of the nest and spread his wings. Certainly, the eagle depicts power as well as risk that we all eventually experience in our Christian growth. Bible text, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That is the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 15.
He promised me he will deliver, deliver, deliver. He promised me he will
deliver, deliver, deliver.
And I believe he will
deliver, deliver, deliver.
Yes, I believe he will
deliver, deliver, deliver.
He promised me he's a
provider, provider, provider.
He promised me he's a
provider, provider, provider.
And I believe he's a
provider, provider, provider.
Yes, I believe he's a
provider, provider, provider.
No other name I know
that can deliver.
In troubled times he shows
he can deliver.
Gets old, I just
want
to be. He promised me, y'all.
He's a healer, healer, healer.
He promised me, y'all.
He's a healer, healer, healer.
And I believe.
Protector, protector,
protector. He promised me he's my
protector, protector, protector.
is free.
I see the
diseases can't compete. I'm down dangerous feet. And if trouble comes, I just cause he promised me that
whatever promised me.
Aloha, you are tuned in and listening to Tiama Pacifica Health Radio Show on Planet MM 104.6. Talo Falava. Continue on. Let's be kind to animals. Around 63% of all U.S. households, 71.1 million, have pets. And more than half of these households have more than one animal. The two most popular pets in most Western countries are cats and dogs. In the United States, a 208 survey showed that dog-owning households outnumbered those owning cats, but that the total number of pet cats was higher than that of dogs. Pets are household animals that people keep for enjoyment or companionship. There are health benefits to keeping a pet. They have been shown to help relieve stress and lower blood pressure. In fact, there are medically approved therapy animals used to visit people who are confined. Walking your dogs gives you exercise, fresh air, and sunshine, and perhaps some social interaction. The most popular pets are, of course, dogs and cats. Worldwide, there are about 202 million cats owned. Can you own a cat? And about 171 million dogs who have owners. In case you are looking for something a little more interesting than a dog or a cat, here are a few strange pets that people own. How about a hedgehog? They are nocturnal, so you need to stay up late to play with them. Some people have enjoyed skunks as pets. But one of the most interesting is the Madagascar hissing cockroach. They don't bite, sting, or fly, but they do hiss when you poke them. The Bible talks about how to care for your animals, whether it is livestock for your livelihood or pets or pleasure. The Bible says, a righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel, Proverbs 12:10. In other words, be kind to animals. They are God's creatures, made for our enjoyment. Someday we will enjoy even greater freedom to interact with animals in an earth made anew, a place where we will not have to worry about getting hurt. Bible text, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he tread out the corn, Deuteronomy 25:4.
You see,
check it out,
yeah. I love God. You love God. What's wrong with you? I love God. You love God. What's wrong with you? I don't think that I could live no other way. Stupid told I'm living now on an A. Not to see them blessings in the modern day. The Lord, I serve you, give them to me every day. I'm forgiving, I'm forgiving. See, I done been forgiving, now I'm living. And when I say I love, I mean it. Cause none of this be nothing, it becomes it. I'm living.
I love God. You love God. What's wrong with you? I love God. You love God. What's wrong with you?
I love him, I love him. Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love, love him, love him, I love him, I love him, love him, love, love him, I love him.
You ain't got the money moving by yourself.
What?
And you know you did it with a lot of air.
What?
You know it's only one that ain't nobody else. You got me talking strong and I ain't reach your pocket well. See, I'm forgiving, I'm forgiving.
Hey.
See, I done been forgiving, now I'm living.
Hey.
And when I say I love, I mean it. Cause none of this be nothing, it be coming. I'm missing shots.
I love God. You love God. What's wrong with you? I love God. You love God. What's wrong with you?
I love him, I love him. Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love, love him, 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 love him.
Wanted you to fall, you know I do, I do. You couldn't lost it all, you remember I do, I do. No one could do you wrong, oh, we got you covered. I just want it all, that's what makes me love him. I don't need a reason, you want one reason. I don't know how I feel in my heart, I never know. You my God, what's wrong with you?
I love God.
You my God, what's wrong with you?
I love him, I love him. Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love, love him, love him, I love him, I love him, love him, love, love him, I love him.
Maloni, Kiorana Tatukatoto. This is Tiamba Pacifica House Radio Program 104.6. Big wins, continuing on. Many wanted to build a bridge to connect San Francisco to Marin County. San Francisco was the largest American city, still served primarily to ferry boats. Experts said that a bridge couldn't be built across the 6,700-foot strait. It had strong swirling tides and currents, water 500 feet in depth in the center of the channel, and frequent strong winds. They also said ferocious winds and blinding fogs would prevent construction and operation. When construction began on the Golden Gate Bridge, on January 5, 1933, Joseph B. Strauss, chief engineer, was adamant about using the most rigorous safety precautions in the history of bridge building. Hard hats, not commonly used, with glare-free goggles were specifically designed for workers. Special hand and face cream protected the workers against the constant biting wind. The most conspicuous precaution was the safety net, suspended under the entire floor of the bridge from end to end. During construction, the net saved the lives of 19 men who became known with affection as the Halfway to Hell Club. Weather conditions have closed the bridge three times, December 1, 1951, because of gusts of 69 miles per hour. December 23, 1982, because of winds of 70 miles per hour. And December 3, 1983, because of wind gusts of 75 miles per hour. Jesus' disciples once found their lives at risk because of strong winds while sailing across a lake. As they sailed, a windstorm came down on the lake and they were filling with water and were in Jeopardy, Luke ate 23, but the winds did not stop Clay from sleeping in the boat. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Verse 24. Experts said a bridge couldn't be built across a deep channel of sand and raging winds, but Christ became a bridge to heaven, just laid down his life that we could cross over in safety to a better land. I'm glad our Lord didn't listen to the experts. Key Bible text, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Matthew 8:27.
I knew God was with me. I always used to pray. My prayer was I asked God to not to let the devil kill me out here while I was in the streets before I could get back. But I said, if you give me one more chance at life and music, I promise you, I'm going to shout you out, and I'm going to testify that we're going to have a little church up in there.
Waking up, thanking God. Every day is feeling just like Sunday. Watch you fly by my side. Green light, everything's going my way. Riding clean, living dreams. Just left the barber and I'm feeling like Midas. Heard him say, give him praise. What's in the water got you acting like this? Ain't a day go by, yeah, I don't try what? To thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why, what? I'm loving life. I'm close and I tell you what's up. Listen. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Living every moment, no regrets. No. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, well, I'm blessed. Yes, yes. Blessed. Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. No, I'm blessed. No, I'm blessed. No, I'm blessed. No, I'm blessed.
Welcome back to Emma Pacific Health. You are listening to Fale Fangamano Melemele Puka. Let us continue on. Every student is a teacher. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 27% of the population over the age of 3 is enrolled in school. That means there are 76 million students in schools of all kinds, from preschool to university. In comparison, there are 7.2 million teachers in those schools. In our society, the teacher and the student are usually two different individuals. However, God seemed to have something different in mind for his chosen nation. The first two chapters of Isaiah contain two invitations to learning. The first is from God. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Isaiah 1:18-19. This invitation to reason with God was for the people of Judah and Jerusalem, who the Lord called a sinful nation and a brood of evildoers. Isaiah 1:4. God wanted to forgive their sins and teach them to do good. Isaiah 1:17. He planned on calling Jerusalem the city of righteousness. Isaiah 1:26. The second invitation is from one Gentile to another. Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his path. Isaiah 2:3. God knew that if his people learned to do good, people from all nations would come to them, hoping to learn about God's ways. As we enter the month coming up, now next month now coming up is November, and rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow, and the beauty of God's school is that each student becomes a teacher. And keep up a text, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16.
He's great and he's greatly to be praised.
Te ama Pacifica Hellas Bedo. Welcome to you all. Jalof Malava, Manuel 34. Continue on. The banquet table. Westminster Abbey in London is one of the Great Britain's most famous churches. This splendid edifice was built in stages beginning in the 11th century, and it enshrines many of the traditions of the British people. English monarchs since William the Conqueror have been crowned in Abbey, and most are buried in its chapel. Famous citizens like Isaac Newton and David Livingstone are also buried there. But one of the most amazing people buried in the Abbey is a farmer named Thomas Parr, born in 1483. During the reign of King Richard III, Thomas is reported to have lived to the age of 152, witnessing the sitting of 10 sovereigns on the throne during his long life, including the entire 50-year reign of Queen Elizabeth I. In 1635, King Charles I invited Thomas to the palace that he might meet this remarkable man. The king inquired as to what did Thomas owe his long life. He answered that he lived a simple life, eating mostly potatoes and oatmeal. While at the palace, old Thomas feasted on the rich food served on the palace. He was not used to this food, and that night, after dining on the king's delicacies, he became very ill and died. King Charles felt so terrible, having killed Britain's oldest citizen with his food, that he commanded Thomas to be buried at Westminster Abbey. There is a story in the Bible about a king, a banquet, and honor bestowed on a man. Queen Esther found favor before the king, who offered to grant her any wish. She knew a man named Haman who wanted to destroy the Jews, especially a man named Mordecai. In a turn of events, the king actually had Haman show honor to Mordecai instead. Then at the banquet for the king and Haman, Esther revealed Haman's plot to destroy the Jews. The king ordered him hanged on a gallows. Banquets can be places where events lead some to life and others to death. Old Tom Parr didn't survive a royal banquet very well, but someday we can enjoy a banquet with the King of Kings, a meal that leads us into everlasting life. Bible text, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Song of Solomon 2 verse 4. And warm greetings to you all. We have now come to the end of our Te Ama Pacifica Health radio program for today, and we look forward to see you again or be talking to you the same time, same place next week. And I pray that God will continue to bless you all. So let me finish our Te Ama Health program today. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this time. May you continue to bless us, give us good health, that we continue to work and serve our community and each other, and especially to you. Bless our staff, our technicians, especially Michelle and the rest of the team. Until we meet again, in Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Te Ama Pacifica Health. Talofalava, Malo Suifua. Until next week, God bless.